Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Happy Tuesday. Today, more of the snot-nosed brats at college campuses across the country continue their little toddler meltdowns. We'll get to some of those. But apparently, within those toddler meltdowns, now, guys, you're going to be shocked to hear this. Insurrection is good. Insurrection is a good thing, at least according to the radical anti-Israel students at Columbia University, where the campus is now closed indefinitely after a mob broke into one of the school's academic buildings and barricaded themselves in, blocking entrances with wooden tables and chairs and zip tying and bolting the doors. Here's some of the protesters trying to cross through. These counter-protesters who are, God bless them, attempting to block these people from breaking and entering, but there just weren't enough of the good guys this time around to make that happen. By the way, all of this happened about 12 hours after the students' deadline of 2 p.m. yesterday for protesters to vacate their encampments or face suspension. So I want to play what it looked like on the scene when these peaceful protesters, we're just protesting peacefully. The police are the aggressors. I don't know. We'll see about that. These peaceful protesters began smashing in windows of the building. And here's that. That's a crime. Yeah, they're lucky that they weren't Ashley Babbitt, because they'd be dead. Apparently at Columbia, you may be hailed as a hero. By the way, they were apparently holding janitors hostage at some of these places. So they went into the building, hung their Intifada flag, and, you know, were chanting to the river, from the river to the sea, which, again, love to remind everyone, if you look at a map, you understand exactly what that means. It's not just an innocent chant. It just means the elimination of Israel. So I want to... You know what? I want to go ahead and welcome my guests here today, and then I want to play a couple more clips for you guys of other campuses across the country, and then let's have this discussion of what happens to these little toddlers. I want to welcome to the program Yaqub Bouyans, Blaze TV contributor and founder of JBM, Yaqub Bouyans Ministries, which I encourage everyone to donate at helpjbm.org, along with Eric July, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Ripaverse Comics. So it's not just Columbia. Obviously, this is tensions are escalating everywhere across college, a college campus near you. So I want to show a couple more clips here. This is how bad it is. You know, we talk about Title IX, and we may get to Title IX later. But, you know, you talk about not discriminating against students on the basis of race, ethnicity, religion, sex, all of these criteria, which now we're told includes gender identity. But you want to talk about not discriminating against students. I want to play for you over at UCLA. Jewish students are being denied entry to their classrooms from all of these protesters. Watch.
You guys have closed the entrance. We are UCLA students. I have my ID right here. I'm being blocked off, not by the security guard, but by you two. You three. Oh, look, they're making their burr while I'm going this way. Excuse me. This is what they do. Everybody, look at this. Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school. And they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Well, I can't take it. Will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in to class.
We're not engaging.
Then you can move. Will you move?
We're not engaging.
Okay, we're going. We're going. I'm going in. I don't. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them.
I'd like to point out there was a security guard at the beginning of that clip who just stood there and did nothing. And one might wonder what the hell he was even being paid to do if he was just going to stand there and allow this to take place. But I want to play one more for you just because I want to make fun of them. Okay. Over at the University of Texas in Austin, which we don't claim. We don't claim Austin. Okay, I am a Longhorns football fan, but Austin as a place, we just don't claim. It's an island. But there were arrests being made for the illegal encampments on campus. And guys, it was so sad. The little protesters had to call in their fake medics because they had heat exhaustion in 85 degree weather. Watch.
I'm not going to guess on the charges. It could be trespassing.
Medic, 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 hurry, come.
They've been notified by police and
hurry.
Campus officials to get off this property. And
oh, here
refusing.
Come the pink shirt medics. That's how you know that they really know what they're doing. Hurry, help her. It's mildly warm. Get her to safety.
I'm not sure that they're acting.
Oh, no. There was another one where the woman was in a mask. And I was like, you know, maybe if you tried taking off the mask, you could breathe because it's not that hot. And if you live in Texas, you should be used to way hotter. But, you know, it occurs to me that, you know, we talk about all of these weak, brainwashed, mentally disabled, entitled, I would call them toddler terrorists. And I do think that they deserve every negative consequence coming to them. But they also are the future of this country. And that is concerning to me for many reasons. One of which is, of course, all of that display. They're gonna rule the world someday. These entitled little brats who want to demand things of the school that, like, is obviously the school has a president, a board. They chose to go to the school. And now they want to demand how things are run. That's not the way this works. Also, if you break school policy and they tell you if you do this, it's illegal and you will be arrested and you do it. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, I guess. Don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah, colleges, particularly the public universities, for the most part, they're hotbeds for this type of this sort of attitude, right? Whatever the end thing is to advocate or advocate against, the social justice left, that is, the social justice status left, they will adopt that position.
Okay? BLM 2.0?
Whatever. So whether it was BLM, now, right now, it happens to be this conflict is happening that they can't even properly explain, but they're told to care about. That is these guys, they want to be activists very, very badly. They want to feel like they are part of something as generations before us were part of. They're the little civil rights activists that they like to think that they are. But if anything, what this should show, granted, this isn't happening at every university, because I think that I don't want to even call it a precedent. It's more of a atmosphere, attitude that certain universities, they won't really necessarily put up with that. Like I keep bringing up Northwood because they don't have these problems right now. And they also are free market, more free enterprise school. And that's like core to their ethics. Right. And everybody that goes into it to it understands. So this is not like on their list of things to even care about. The problem, though, and what I would hope people look at, if you're a parent, especially, you guys are paying tens of thousands of dollars.
That's on the low end.
And that's on the low end these days. That was probably tens of thousands of dollars when we were in school, right?
Columbia is like $83,000 a year, I think.
Exactly. So you're paying that, right? Or they're selling off assets of unborn people by piling up this debt for them to get indoctrinated. And whether it be by the mob itself, right, in the hive mind that is, whether it be from the academics, which is why you're not seeing a lot of pushback happening, and they're trying to talk out of both sides of their mouth, it's because they're in on it, right? They're in on it. The academics are also in on it as well, may even be kind of lighting the fire. I don't want to say even secretly. They're probably have the same position that they have. So I hope parents assess it. Look at, if anything else, let's glass half full. We're going to white pill you a little bit, or maybe you need to learn. This is what these are the type of institutions you're sending your kids to. And you wonder why they come out thinking the way that they do. I think people need to get rid of the idea that university in particularly is this like entry to being a successful individual. And you're going to learn so much and you're going to learn about the world and how it operates.
The opposite now.
It is the opposite now. And I think you should take that serious because you're a plumb damn fool if you don't think that some of those students come from parents that also may be like conservative, maybe they're libertarian. They're not all leftists, but you're sending them. What's the old saying? It's like, don't expect like to send your kids over to Caesar or whatever, not expecting them to come wrong or whatever the sort of term is. That's what we're dealing with. So you'd be a fool if you're thinking that, well, the new generation or next generation, either the crazy sort of socialistic, high-minded people. You're also paying tens of thousands of dollars for them to get that way.
Man, I've got so much. Oh my gosh, where do I start? Let me start at the top. You parents are so weak.
Yeah.
You pay the funds for that brat to go misbehave. Mm-hmm. Yank the funds. Call Johnny and say, get your butt back home. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're going to go flip burgers because I'm not paying for college. Because they're not all there on full ride scholarships. And the ones they're on full ride scholarships, the athletes, which we both were, where are they in this conversation? No, the athletic department are telling them, stay out of this mess.
Especially their coaches, man.
Stay out of this mess because we got to make money over here to keep this institution floating. Because that's what keeps it floating is the football program at UT. But it's as corrupt as... Oh, you don't see any of the football players here. No. Don't mess with our money.
Yeah.
Let's just play to George Soros, who gives us some of the Open Society's money, who's paying these buffoons. Where are the parents saying, hey, I saw you on camera. Get in class or come flip burgers, buddy. I'm yanking your car. I'm yanking everything you got. Walk with your feet. Let's go Hamas your way through life. And then secondly, sorry, Sarah, to disagree with you on your own show. I love you. But they're not going to run squat in this
country.
Well,
that's a great point.
The alpha generation that's after them are going to run circles around
them. That's a great
point. The 7, 8, 9-year-olds today that are looking at these freaking idiots. My own 9-year-old's like, what are they? They're idiots. I'm like, you're going to rule the world because they'll be living in their parents' basement at 45, seeking off the teat. And the parent that right now didn't want to put their foot down saying, excuse me, come go to California, go flip burgers for $20 an hour and go sell your Big Mac at $25 with Gavin Newsom rather than spending time and my money at Columbia University. So parents are as much to blame for this nonsense. It's bad parenting. And then lastly, what did we think would happen if the president of Harvard and the president of Yale was spewing anti-Semitism and got no lashback and got a little slap on the hand for plagiarism, right? So goes the leadership, so goes the schools. So parents, it's on you.
Yeah.
Yank Johnny home, take his car, take his keys, take everything.
It's funny, as parents do. I was just thinking in the same vein. I'm like, if I sent my child to school to learn and I saw him out there in that dumb encampment stinking and he's sitting there with a bunch of blue-haired liberals getting pepper sprayed because he's not obeying lawful orders by police, I am like, first of all, when I came down from the ceiling, I would be like, okay, so one of two things are happening. You are either driving home right now and bringing your stuff home, or I am driving to come pick you up and yanking you out by your collar. And I don't think that that's the option that you want. So I expect you home in about 6 hours.
Yeah, that's what you do. I'm not even kidding.
I'm not either.
As a parent, you report the car that they're driving that's not theirs stolen. And you get your son arrested. And you put him in jail.
I mean,
and then you call him one collect call. Hey, Johnny, how long do you want to stay? I wasn't raised with this crap, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. Like, a bunch of soft.
I mean, July, are you with me on
listen.
That? Oh, man. That's, listen. I'm just trying to envision, like, reporting, like, hey, man, that car stolen. Man.
You know how I know? It's my kid in it. Let me I've got GPS on my phone. Let me tell you where they're at.
The VIN number's in my name. Title's in my name. It is not in his name.
He's swiping he stole to buy himself a mask. He's Hamas mask. Car's not working. Mommy, you cut off, buddy. The popo's coming. You stole my car.
And I mean, just like, I saw this one guy get pepper sprayed and he's like, oh, it burns. House. What did you think was going to happen? What did you? Yes. You thought the pepper spray was bad by the cops.
Cattle prod.
Just wait
the electric
until you get home.
Yeah, I'm done. I can't even. This is nonsense.
And by the way, I want to, so I did a, an episode of my Texas-based podcast, Come and Take It, which I do through Texas Scorecard. It is released on my YouTube channel. If you're watching on my YouTube channel right now, you can find it. But I went a little bit more in depth. So if you're wondering about the kind of the intricacies of this one, go watch that. It was just released earlier today. But the thing that bothers me so much about the Texas one is that people, the mainstream media, is trying to spin it into this assault on free speech. Well, they were just peacefully protesting before the cops came and they were the aggressor, which Eric might argue in other circumstances, and maybe this one, I'm not sure, I don't want to put words in his mouth, is true. But here's the difference in this one was that the group that went up there and still protested and, you know, are creating these encampments, that group was told in a letter by UT Austin the day before they had their protest that they were not allowed to do it because they had already made Instagram postings. Already said they were telling on themselves. They said, we're going to wear masks, which is not allowed. You're not allowed to conceal your identity when you're protesting and doing these things. And also they were saying, in the footsteps of our brothers and sisters at Columbia and all of these, we're going to take back our space. We're going to. And so the university said, you're already telling us that you're not going to obey the rules. You may not have a protest here. And then they showed up anyway, bragging about how they were not going to allow them to do it. And then they did it anyway. And that is why the cops were called. Yeah. They knew what they were doing was not allowed. They knew that the university had told them they were not allowed to do it. And they gave them very clear reasons why. And they chose to disregard that and then said, oh, we were just peacefully protesting. It was the cops that were the aggressors. That's not true. That's not true. So I think it's important to recognize that there was more to the story than that. And you don't get, like, it's the university and they get to have their own policies. And that doesn't mean that you don't get free speech. Okay?
And you can't disrupt another kid's class.
No, and you can't harass them when they're trying to go to class, by the way. There's none of that is allowed. So
it's
if you want
crazy though, like this of envision, like guy trying to walk to school or whatever, walk to class, and you got some goofy looking people in masks sitting there holding you. I would have no problem getting through. I tell you that much. But much respect to him because he's like he's trying. Like he doesn't clearly want conflict. He's
right.
Like, I don't want to deal. This is so stupid. And right. it does point out how goofy this whole scenario is that someone's just trying to get to class and you, again, protesting something that you probably can't even properly explain for whatever reason, it keeping a student out of the way of getting to his class. That's just crazy, man.
And by the way, I know we got to go to break here, but by the way, and let's do some reverse roles here for a second. Let's say that there were a bunch of white people with white coats and white hoods on, pointy white hoods, saying that they wouldn't let black people go to class.
Well, it happened back in you know, 50s,
right.
40s, and
that's what I'm saying.
It used to be a thing.
That's what I'm saying.
With the whole Little Rock Nine thing, that was all about all that type of stuff.
So, like, would we tolerate that in the year 2024?
Didn't back then, so.
Right. Would we tolerate that in the year 2024? No, obviously not. But now, all of a sudden, reverse the roles here, and it's totally okay. And somehow, those people are the civil rights activists.
So hatred is always tolerated when it's coming from the oppressor.
Right.
Right? They can hate. This is hate.
Yeah.
We're tolerating hate. It's hate of a Jewish community. And they couldn't, to Eric's point, they couldn't give you two sentences.
We've seen it.
Why they're doing this.
Yeah, we've seen it. I mean, it's absolutely embarrassing. All right, we've got to take a quick break. First, we want to thank our sponsor, Relief Factor. So Relief Factor is there for those of you who are living in constant pain and you just think, that's my life now. Well, it's actually not. I know this from personal experience. Yaku knows this from personal experience. Yaku's mom knows this from personal experience. Glenn Beck knows this from personal. We all have tried it and it's worked for all of us. So if you've got, you know, aches, pains, knee problems, what was your issue, Yaku?
I've got torn meniscus right now. I need surgery and I drank it this morning and it 100% takes inflammation out of the body and
yeah,
works.
That's what it's supposed to do. It's a super potent anti-inflammatory. And what most people don't realize is your aches and your pains and all that is usually caused by inflammation in your body. So if you can get rid of the inflammation, you get rid of the entire problem. You're not going to mask it. You're not going to put a Band-Aid on it. It's not going to feel good for 10 minutes when you rub a cream on it and then you're going to be out of pain. This is actually getting to the root cause of the problem. So go to relieffactor.com, get the 3-week quick start pack. It's $19.95 and it comes with Relief Factor's feel better or your money back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose except your pain over at ReliefFactor.com. That is ReliefFactor.com. So you guys may recall in the Donald Trump Stormy Daniels hush money trial, Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg had accused Donald Trump of violating his gag order that was placed on him previously by Judge Juan Merchan. They said that he violated it 11 times last week and asked the New York judge to rule on each incident. Now, the judge last week kind of left it hanging. I think I mentioned at the time he's trying to give the illusion that he's really mulling it over and weighing if he wants to penalize Donald Trump for violating his gag order. Well, of course, today the judge ordered Trump to pay the $9,000 in fines. This was $1,000 per instance for what he said were 9 of the instances cited by the prosecution. He also warned Trump that he could be jailed for further gag order violations in an 8-page order. And I won't bore you with all of the quotes here, but he was also ordered Trump to remove any of the social media posts that violated the gag order by 2 p.m. And he did. In fact, we got word that he did remove those social media posts. So those are now gone. But isn't it so cute that they want you to think that? He was like, oh, gosh, I just don't know if I'm going to rule in the prosecution's favor. Okay, I did. And also, you could be jailed if you use your First Amendment right to speak out against what anyone with eyeballs sees as political persecution of the Biden regime's, political opponent.
I think did he say 30 days? Was there a time frame you put on it? I think 30-day jail time or something like that I read somewhere. But it was pretty significant. Yeah, what a joke, right? The whole thing is a joke. It's loaded jury. It's loaded situation. I mean, they're leading him into the enemy territory every single day he's landing, in either, LaGuardia or wherever he's landing, flying in and going, hey, let's lead him into the enemy camp because there's nothing in his favor. From jury selection to judges, it's this game. And unfortunately, we're going to have to build a thick skin around this because they're not going to stop. It's not stopping. And it's not stopping after he's in the White House either. I mean, they'll try.
Well, they did it the first time.
Exactly.
2 impeachments.
And so I come back full circle, Eric, to say, great, I believe he wins. I am very optimistic. I really hope so. I will muster up votes. But we better start thinking past that. We have to think about the House and the Senate because they'll come with impeachment. And this time we don't have the Senate. We had it last time as a failsafe, as a buffer, twice impeached, not removed because the Senate saved him. I don't hold much confidence in the Mike Johnson posse and in the Senate to actually have the...
You mean the Democrats?
The Uniparty.
The Uniparty.
To actually have the gonads to do what is right, when they come for him when he's in the White House.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think anybody, even if you're kind of on the outside looking in like myself, you can see that they're going to try to make this as inconvenient, expensive. As they possibly can, time-consuming.
So he can't campaign.
The more it carries on, the more they think that they can or believe that they can sway kind of public opinion. Mm-hmm. The more they can kind of string this on, especially if it goes into the actual election, which I think seems to be like the point here, right? Yeah. At least that's what I pick up. Maybe I'm wrong, and the process is just a process, but it does to me feel like there is true politicking at play, at least there. Because even if, say, for all of the supposed indictments, he's cleared of it all, well, in the court of public opinion, the more that they can string this on, does that even matter? Mm-hmm. Right? Depending, especially once the damage already gets done. Yeah. Right? Let's say if it goes on as long as they can, and let's say it was good enough to, let's say, unfortunately, maybe there's a bunch of gullible people that are out there, and the way that they vote was resting upon how he was being courted, let's say again, in public, if you will. If they go that route and they're successful, the results will, at that point, wouldn't even matter, because effectively he's not going to be in power, right? And now he's just okay. Maybe if we, yeah, sure, they would punish him if they possibly can. But even if they didn't, the damage would have already been done.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's a difficult sort of enemy to combat. Mm-hmm. Definitely, if you are going to try to have the moral high ground there, yeah, and not play the dirty tricks that they play, that you see kind of they are imploring or deploying on you and everybody that supports you, you know, I don't know if you can truly, truly combat that and win effectively, right? Without understanding that this is a game. And mm-hmm. you got to play to win, bro. Mm-hmm. And how that looks, I don't know.
Yeah, it's so frustrating to me to read these polls that show there are a certain amount of voters who obviously they will agree that this is all political persecution. But then they will also say, I can't vote for Donald Trump if he is a convicted felon.
Yeah.
And it's like, How do you get to that conclusion, yeah, if you know that it's all a sham? You're playing into their hand.
100%.
They'll use this every single time if they know that it works. Like, if you can agree that this is all bogus, why in the world would you let that deter you from voting for the guy who you believe is right?
And it's these virtual victories that Eric is talking about, but they stick, though.
Yeah.
They do, and they are getting traction. Unfortunately, they are, and that's why they're doubling down on them. And I call it death by avalanche. You don't have to. It's just they don't even need a conviction. It is sticking, and it's just more and more. And the biggest concern for me is I'm not seeing any offense.
Mm.
There's no offense coming out of his camp at the moment. It's all defense. And rightfully so. I mean, he's defending,
that's the point, right?
Trying to take Mar-a-Lago, this, that. Yeah. I mean, he is every day, and there's
time.
No offense.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
The second you play their game and you're not on the offense, in the ring, he who moves forward has the momentum, and that's not good. He needs to somehow find a way to pivot, and it may mean, Eric, playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any other way. I'm going to be honest.
It was good to see. I saw today Ken Paxton was joining, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton was joining Donald Trump in New York during the trial. He wrote in a post on X, with President Trump in NYC to sit through this sham of a trial. This trial is a travesty of justice. I stand with Trump, which if anyone knows it's like, I would argue he's the OG of knowing about political persecution and having, your entire career just on the line for what, almost 10 years, this last securities fraud case that finally was like done away with absolutely no trial. That's how strong their case was against him, that they kept claiming he was facing 99 years in prison. And then they were like, yeah, that's fine. We can just sign a diversion agreement. We don't have to go to trial. Mm.
But Sarah,
sounds strong.
Look at those two cases, though.
No.
Case in point, Mitch Little.
Yeah.
Mitch Little, who defended Ken Paxton as a lawyer, was on the offense.
Yeah.
That guy was hunting. He was not on the defense in the courtroom. Mitch was a bulldog.
Yeah.
Apps and you support, and we all, a bulldog. I'm not seeing that.
Right.
I hope Paxton is telling Trump, dude, you gotta start swinging.
Well, I think I think part of the problem, at least in this particular case, is that cameras are not allowed in the courtroom. So
we don't see what
we're not seeing.
What is going on?
Which, I mean, you tell me that that's not intentional.
Of course.
Right? I mean, of course that's intentional. They don't want those big moments.
Paint the narrative.
They don't want those big moments to make it to, you know, social media where it will get retweeted and seen millions of times. They don't want that. They'd rather it be buried in an article where no one is actually going to read it so that Trump doesn't get any momentum out of it. So I'm sure that that's all completely intentional as well. All right. We've got more to cover. First, we want to thank our sponsor this segment, Jace Medical. So look, just like it was back during the pandemic, today, we are actually facing drug and medical supply shortages in the United States. In fact, as of March, there were more than 200 drug shortages here, and it's looking like it may get a whole lot worse before it gets any better. Healthcare experts have pointed to shortages, domestic production, and the Drug Supply Chain Security Act as trends to watch this year. And you wouldn't think, you're like, well, we're not in the middle of a pandemic anymore. How could this happen? But we've been seeing it for literally years now. This is why you should have a Jace case. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. And all you have to do to get one is fill out a simple form online and you will have it there ready in case you need it. There's a bunch of add-on options as well, like they've got EpiPens if you have someone who needs one in your family, ivermectin as well. They are empowering people just like you to be able to take your family's health into your own hands. So check them out today. Go to Jace Medical and enter code Sarah at checkout for a discount on your order. That is promo code Sarah at JaseMedical.com. Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent a warning to anyone thinking about crossing into our southern border illegally. You could get eaten, okay? You could get eaten by an alligator in the alligator-infested Rio Grande. I think we have some video of this alligator that, yes, he's just chilling. He's just waiting for a wannabe migrant. He looks awfully comfortable and awfully hungry for people who are planning on breaking the law. Greg Abbott shared the social media post on X and said, "Alligators are in the Rio Grande. FYI, there are warning signs posted in some sectors. Cross at your own risk." Now, interestingly enough, crossings in Texas have fallen by half, not because that they're not coming, but because the cartels have turned their attention to Arizona and New Mexico, who are, I would say, not as tough as Texas. I don't believe that Texas is doing as much as they could. I do think that a lot of their tough talk is for optics, but I mean, the tough talk is more than Arizona is doing, for example. So there's that. But I want to play for you guys Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Troy Miller, who faced questions from Congress today. And he told the House that the Border Patrol, look, they're not really admitting people into the country per se. Watch.
"But if no red flags come up on that individual somewhere, that person will be admitted into the interior. That was my understanding, again, from what I was told at the border in January.
He or she will not be admitted into the interior.
With no red flags. I mean, no red flags come up anywhere. No red flags come from all this information sharing. So we're not admitting people into the interior who don't have identification.
Admit would be the wrong terminology. We could release somebody with a notice to appear.
Notice to appear. Okay. So we would be counting on this young Iranian to basically show up somewhere at a office in the interior after they're released into the interior. That sounds like a plan that's pretty dangerous.
Look, admitting is kind of a strong word, okay? We don't admit them. We just release them into the country. But it is with a notice to appear. And they do super duper pinky promise that they'll come.
Yeah, because admittance would have to be a legal process. Mm. He's telling you there, no, we're not bringing them in legally. But we're bringing them in. Mm. He's not saying they're not entering. Admitting, because it's technical, legal, immigration terminology, So, no, they're not admitting them.
They're just being released. And if they go into the interior of the country, or if they go back across Mexico, I don't know.
By the way, the complete cockamamie nonsense that was just spoken there is that there's red flag background checks. Nobody is checking anybody.
Also, if they
crossing
don't have,
the border.
If they don't have ID, how are you going flags. To check them?
Nobody's checking for red flags. There's no flags are being checked. They don't... Come with us to the border and your jaw will drop to the floor. So, no, they're not legally admitting them. No, but they're giving them a notice to appear. By the way, the earliest notice to appear I've ever seen was 2035.
Oh, good. Good.
2035.
Well, that's only 11 years.
11 years from now, you've got a pinky swear promise that you go to that immigration judge, wink, wink, in that city, and you got to render yourself in and say, hey, here I am. I was not admitted.
Well, it's not enough notice because, you know, I already have something scheduled on that day, so I can't actually show up, which, of course, to Yaku's point, Eric, when these people, that's all part of the plan, because then when these people do show up, they are able to argue that they have made a life here and they have children here and they have a job here and they have all these little stickies for why they should be able to stay here. Because it's been 11 years.
No, I'd just rather them not be so chicken crap around like what's actually being done. And then let's argue the merits of that, of the situation, right? If, no matter how pro-immigration you are. But that's what kind of frustrates me about like these guys and how they talk about the border. It's like that was a really slimy answer that he gave, right? He was saying that, hey, we're not admitting them. We're just releasing them and they have to appear in court later. So they are here, though. They are in the interior. Okay, I would love for the conversation to be about that, right? And I think purposely that's why they're talking around it, because they don't want to talk about that. Okay, if you think that that is the how, I guess, immigration should be handled in this country, make the argument for that then, right? Okay, go ahead and make the argument from that then. I have a hard time believing that they'll be successful, right? But that's why they're talking around it, so they can at least fall back on, well, we're doing a little something-something here. We're not doing what you're saying that we're doing, though technically, yes, that's exactly what it is that we are, right? You're saying that we're just letting people in, you know, to do anything willy-nilly.
Right?
But actually what we're doing is, well, we give them they need to appear in court. I'm like, bro, people in this damn country that live here ain't appearing in court notices. what are you talking about? somebody that comes here and, isn't
tell
from
the
here.
Truth,
come
Eric.
On, bro.
Tell them the truth.
Somebody whose ID you do have is still not showing up.
We're releasing criminals from custody in this country after we capture them.
Yeah.
Hello, Eric Adams, Gavin Newsom, right? But no. Dude, I had a guy, was a guy on my show today who's former senior leader at DEA who was one of the heads of the war on drugs in the 80s and the 90s, right? And he said, Yaku, and he was with me at the borders a couple of times. His name's Jeff. And he said, you have no understanding. That war is so lost today. He was literally highlighting to me the facilities in Mexico that's funded by China, where they're training the Chinese how to take chemicals and making the fentanyl. How are they taking their cast and dye machines to stamp out pills, and they're selling it at cost to anybody in Mexico that's willing to buy them. How the current Mexican president is aware of it, how it's state-sponsored. This is this gigantic partnership.
Yeah. I talked to Peter Schweitzer.
Between Biden and China. Yeah. And it's a gigantic partnership to destabilize this country.
If only someone would have warned us that Joe Biden could be some sort of a national security threat, that maybe he had some, I don't know, alliances or allegiances with foreign countries where his son was getting a lot of money. If only...
$3 billion.
If only anyone could have told us that that was a thing that happened, maybe we could have chosen differently. But then again, fortification. That's all I'll say about that. All right, we've got more to come. We'll be right back. At least 9 states have filed lawsuits against the Biden regime over its new Title IX rules, forcing public schools to, of course, allow trans-identifying males to compete in women's sports, use women's bathrooms. Basically, they can use that as the excuse for, you may not discriminate against me. I should get, I am entitled to all of the spaces that women have. And also their scholarships and also their championships, because I am trans identifying. So as of yesterday, Montana, Louisiana, Mississippi, Idaho, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and South Carolina have all filed lawsuits over their interpretation of the civil rights law. And I want to explain how this, how they're doing this, okay? Because they are just expanding the definition of sex-based discrimination, because we've already known for a very long time. It was, what, 1972, federal civil rights law prohibiting sex-based discrimination. But now they're like, actually, the definition of sex-based includes gender identity. And look, it's going to, the regulations are going to apply to all public K through 12 schools, colleges, and universities that receive federal funding. And I just feel like this makes the case. I talked to Ryan Walters in Oklahoma last week. Yes, Eric, he already knows what's coming. Why do we have a Department of Education at all?
Should be eliminated.
A long freaking time ago. Yep. We've been talking about this for so long, and it's like Republicans run on it. And then they don't do anything. And then we see the power that they keep taking and taking and taking. And it's like, what? Hello, are we ever going to do something about this? You guys seem to understand the dangers of this. You seem to understand the importance of, Eric, decentralizing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes down to it, you just roll over and let Joe Biden say, actually, you know what? We are going to allow men to take women's spaces. And you're going to not receive federal funding if you don't too allow it.
It's, to me, that's the case for complete abolition and elimination of all of these damn rotten ass public education systems. I don't care if it's K through 12. I don't care if it's university. It's an old, archaic, broken model that needs to be eliminated completely. And when I say eliminated, I'm not talking about the roundabout way, because this is what people are having to do. And it's because, excuse my language, people are too chicken crap. I'll say that. Chicken crap. That we have people now having to do this whole school kind of choice movement thing, which is, that's not going far enough. No. That's been my argument for the longest. It's like, yes, is that preferable to what we have now? Yes.
Yeah.
But if we just got rid of the damn things, and on top of that, maybe there's two forms of elimination. You eliminate the schools, not on my channel. You eliminate the schools, and you also eliminate the taxation that people are having to pay through, be it property tax and all sorts of rotten things to pay for these rotten institutions, right? That's the problem. It's that the fact that there's even public institutions so large. Think about that. Just conceptualize that. Like our public education system, it's so massive that you have an all-encompassing federal law that applies to all of them. And most of your kids go there, right? Most people are sending their children to public indoctrination camps. That makes no sense, especially now. If you wanted to make the argument back in the day when information didn't spread as fast, I'm not going to give that to you. But okay, now it's as old and archaic and broken as it is ever Ben, there needs to, if I don't understand the Republican Party and why there isn't a push. I thought we were going to get that with Bishop DeVos to at least eliminate the Department of Education for sure. But at minimum, man, or maximum, no matter how you put it, the educational system needs to be reformed. And by reformed, I mean abolished. And by abolished, I mean eliminated, gone, replaced with Jack Diddley.
Mm-hmm. Look, I've said this before on the show. I just want to say it again. John Dewey, one of the signers of the Humanist Manifesto, 1933, one of the godfathers of the American public education system, visited with Joseph Stalin, who helped him draft the policies. It's built on secular humanism and Marxism since 1928. This whole system is built for this, for them to indoctrinate your children. Now they've just come to the point where we see Columbia University, and you've got 9 billion, you know, political justice and, you know, social studies degrees and who knows whatever, and debt forgiveness programs. It was always built for this. It has to be broken, dug up, right?
Yeah.
From the foundation yeah. and start over. Yeah. There is no reform here. This yeah. thing is as corrupt as all get out. It's just what it is. And until people... The other thing, Sarah, that drives me bonkers with the Republicans are this. We're going to reform public education. We're going to change it. Betsy DeVos gets in there.
That's it. Well.
Gusek does zero. Do you know why? Because I don't hear not a sound from any of the political pundits on what their plan is to do after
they... They're too chicken crap.
They replaced it.
They need to come in
it's
and
like
say...
It's like Obamacare. Replace Obama. No
that's
plan.
That's harsh reality.
It's not Betsy DeVos's fault.
Right. That's no, what I'm
not
saying.
Betsy
like,
DeVos's
she's not
fault.
She didn't lead with it.
No.
I thought, but the Republican Party, yeah, they're going to
no
be
backup.
More or less a fault at it than what Betsy is, for sure. No, make no mistake. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, this is why they won't do it. It's because that leaves seemingly a sour taste in people's mouth when you say that thing that you guys, for whatever reason, became so reliant upon needs to be eliminated,
yeah.
gone. And then that person will ask you, well, what about this, this, and that? And I say, figure it out as mankind has done yeah. all through human yeah. history. When you get rid of something, they tend to find a way to figure it out.
Yes.
They're not that. I mean, there are people.
But that, what about the roads?
Yeah, it always comes
oh.
back to that. It always
wow.
comes back to roads. But no, seriously, like. I think, if anything, 2020 should have showed people.
You
right?
just got to do it.
That you just got to do it, man. Like, it's not, and if not for your children, then for who?
Yeah.
Then for who? Why am I sitting there arguing with other Americans? Like, well, what about the, how would a state take care of me or my children? If
you don't want them to.
You don't want them to.
Exactly.
So you just figure it out. It's not nearly as expensive as you think it is. It's not as difficult as you think that it is. But that goes to show that the indoctrination worked, man.
So deep.
Because people think that all it took was one generation, to your point back then, to go through that. Now, everybody is under this expectation that public education has to exist. And if it doesn't exist, everybody's just going to be deaf, dumb, and blind.
Right.
That's
well,
not
the great,
how it
they're
works.
They're the great Pumbaas, right? But now you see big corporations, Fortune 100 companies are saying you no longer need a college degree to be
right.
in the C-suite.
Right. Right.
Walmart,
exactly.
et cetera.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Trade school.
Yes.
Apprentice, whatever. But there's definitely other ways. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, we were talking about all of these protesters and how worthless they are. And I'd just like to show you, they are, I'm wrong, actually. They are doing very good work. In fact, here's an example of MIT protesters doing a little dance, a little ditty. Here's some of that. Look at that.
Helping humanity.
Changing the world. Look at that, those civil rights activists that they are doing a strange clapping dance with each other. Now that is really going to change hearts and minds.
That's
some people were not on their side before, and now they're like, oh, but they clapped.
It's some kind of a witch chant. Look at this one tear. Wait, nope, it's not there.
Oh, it's gone.
Nope.
It's already dried up.
Nope.
Someone, I said this the other day, someone get me the Kleenex for the tears that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, fresh out. That's, again, okay, to Yaku's point, that is who is supposed to eventually run the country. They just are incapable.
Not happening.
But hey, they clapped a lot and they danced a lot, Eric, and their kids sent them to, how much does MIT cost these days? A lot of money so that they could skip class and clap and dance. Congratulations, parents.
Jesus Christ, man.
Oh, no.
The world looks at us and go, yeah, they got it together.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.